Greetings, friends, family, and partners. My name is Joe Watson, and this podcast is called Choices We Believe. It's interesting how people make choices. We all have to make the choices. We believe stuff. We don't believe stuff. We make a determination. Normally, we choose and make a choice that we believe in. And in today's podcast, we're talking about things that are going to be a little bit challenging. Stay with me to the end. Isn't it interesting how some people get caught up on words and take a position and refuse to budge? You know, I decided that long time ago. We don't have to talk about it no more. But maybe it's plausible to talk about it and change your mind. This podcast, I will look through Scripture to see what we find about the Holy Spirit in you. As always, it's your choice to believe what you want. Is the choice of what you decided and the choice you made, is it causing you to be left out of something that God wants you to possess, something that God wants you to enjoy, something God wants you to do in your life? Please stay with me to the end. We're going to be kind of like Mythbusters. You know, they would confirm a myth or bust a myth, but sometimes they would just say it's plausible. So maybe what we're talking about in this podcast is plausible. My question is, are we being led by the Holy Spirit, or are we led by our emotions, our flesh, possibly a misteaching that somebody in our lives has told us to believe, and because we thought they were authoritative or in authority over us, we believed it. We haven't really discussed it, thought about it, dwelt with it within ourselves. So you may want to get your Bible and follow along, because we got some scriptures here. This might turn into a long one because I got a lot of notes. But here we go. If we look at Jesus as our example, as Christians, we let Christ or His Spirit lead us in our daily lives. Jesus was our example. And since our example, since He's our example, how do we know what to do or how to live? Now, we use the Bible, we read it, and we look at Jesus, and we have to ask ourselves some questions about stuff that's left out. I don't find any scriptures to tell me yes or no. They're absent. Did Jesus do any miracles before He was baptized by John the Baptist at the Jordan River? Some say yes, some say no. Well, looking at Jesus, we know He did afterwards, because there's a lot of examples of what He did afterwards. So looking at John the Baptist, Jesus at the Jordan River and the baptism, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Wow, this is Jesus coming up out of the water. Let's look at another one. Acts 10:38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him." Wow. What do we got here? We got Jesus in the flesh, and it looks like the Bible's telling us that the Holy Spirit was with Him and gave Him power to do what He did in the flesh. You know, Jesus' sacrifice was for us so that we didn't have to do that. We don't have to go to the cross. We don't have to suffer that kind of a sacrifice, because Jesus did it once for all. But His life, what He did in the flesh as He worked up to the cross, His life was an example to us to emulate how to live. And so what do we have here? What did John the Baptist say about Jesus? As we're looking at his life, we're talking about the Gospels, reading through it, and looking at Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist is talking. He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John's talking about Jesus, okay? And it says that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Wow, I haven't seen any fire coming out of anybody. But I have heard about people being baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what is... This gets really complicated, but we'll try to unwind it slowly so not to lose anybody. The Holy Spirit is oftentimes referred to as water, as cleansing, as flowing. In addition, I want to add to that a definition for baptize. You know, baptize is a Greek, comes from a Greek word, baptizo. Yeah, and it's to make whelmed, or that is fully wet. It's a derivative of another word called bapto, which means that is to cover wholly with a fluid. And that holy is not H-O-L-E, it's W-H-O-L-L-Y, okay? So completely with a fluid. So who is John talking to? He's talking to everybody who's listening. There's got to be a crowd there. So he's describing this, that what Jesus is going to do. Next, I want to look at the apostles. We see that the apostles, there was 12 of them to start with, but ended up with 11. And they spent 3.5 years following Jesus, listening to what he had to say. And so the Apostle John wrote something to us, as I find fascinating. So in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, I want to look at a couple of verses, 21, 22. We find that John says, "Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Oh, man. This is early on. Right here, they received the Holy Spirit. Maybe they received a seal. Because Paul tells us about a seal of the Holy Spirit. A couple of references for that would be 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, where Paul wrote to us, "It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says again, "And him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." So this seal is got to be when you're born again. The Holy Spirit comes and seals your spirit for the day of judgment, or you know, the day you go and stand before Jesus for your hereafter, forever sealed. You see, back in John 20, the apostles were saved. Yet they had no power, and Jesus instructed them to remain in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. So as we look in the book of Acts, chapter 1, starting in verse 4, we're going to look at a few verses here. Acts 1:4 says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So he's promising them, if they'll just stick around, that something is going to happen that previously he had described as the Comforter. The Holy Spirit was be coming to them or coming upon them. He just said, until they receive the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 8, that same Acts 1, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's an addition. Jesus just said you will receive power. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he brings power. That's good news. I could use more power in my life. And so as we continue to read this and follow this thought, in Acts 2, starting in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, which Jesus had previously told them, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. It says they were all together, you know, as in one place, and that this wind and tongues of fire, that should have been an amazing, amazing sight to see. But it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So, I don't know. It might be baptism or it might be a filling, but it's obviously the work of the Holy Spirit. And who is all of them? Who is they all together? How many people are we talking about here? Acts 1:15 tells us that in those days, Peter stood up among the brethren. The company of persons was about 120. So did we have 12 people filled with the Holy Spirit, or did we have 120? If you read all of this, go ahead and read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. You can draw some conclusions here that it might not have been just 12, or it might have been just 12. Because at this point, Matthias had been added in place of Judas. So were they given the Holy Spirit in power for the 12, or was it 120? Yeah. But this much we know for sure. Okay, this much we know for sure. Peter, as you keep on reading, Peter, whom a little girl scared at Jesus' trial, causing him to deny Christ. Yeah, now he stands in front of a crowd of thousands and preaches the gospel. This is also the place and time where we hear them speaking in languages that they had not learned, as speaking in tongues. Because it's recorded that the outsiders said, we hear them speaking in our own language. So this is a gift by the Holy Spirit to those who were present at that time to do that sort of thing. What about us today? What about us today? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I don't believe this order is random. I think it's on purpose. We've been given a spirit of power first, then love, then self-control. The disciples that we're reading about obtained boldness when the Holy Spirit came upon them in that power. I don't think he stopped, and I'll tell you why. I was taught as a young man by a pastor many years ago that all of those miracles and all of this power of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and stuff stopped way back a long time ago, and he used a particular verse to say that when the canonized Bible was put together, then everything stopped. And he went to 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the love chapter. Yeah, he highlighted verse 10. And verse 10 says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And one time by myself, I was reading this. I was going through the love chapter, find out what love is. And the Lord told me to back up and read this again. And I end up reading it like three times in a row. And it dawned on me that the pastor who had taught me that that was the canonized Bible, and so that was the perfect, it was come that all this in part would be done away with. However, that would have been a detour or something different in what Paul was writing about. He was talking about knowing as fully as he is known, and that which is perfect has come, and he says face to face, then I will know. I think the Paul was talking about the time we stand before Christ, and a lot of questions that we have here on earth will be answered. We won't even have to ask. We'll just automatically know. But if that is true, and that which is perfect is not the canonized Bible, then that meant to me that I needed to rethink all of the things that I had been taught about the end of miracles, signs, and wonders. So I went back and started reading Acts in a different light, and I saw it differently. I had to let go of my pastor's teaching. Looking back at 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear." Well, we know that this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to his protege, Timothy, who was pastoring a church, and the Apostle Paul was giving him instruction and encouragement. Could this "us" mean just Paul and Timothy? Or could the "us" be everybody who would ever read it and see it and experience it? Man, the Holy Spirit was causing Paul to write this letter, and it was picked up when they canonized the Bible. And so I think it's to all of us, to all of us, and the Spirit he refers to is the Holy Ghost, and we have the power, the love, and the self-control, whether we realize it or not. When we are born again, it causes us to become part of something much bigger than we are. You know, the kingdom of God. You're ushered into the kingdom of God. Well, we are made for a community, you know, we're made to be part of it. That's why we have so many clubs, social clubs, fraternities, sororities. You know, that's even why people get into gangs, because gangs cause them to belong. We have a longing to belong. But we are, those who are born again, are part of the kingdom of God. Therefore, it causes some questions to come up. It says, how do we as Christians conduct our lives in matters pertaining to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? How do we conduct our lives in matters pertaining to the Holy Spirit? Do we spend time in the Word, reading our Bibles, learning to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit? Then there's this thing about speaking in tongues. But let's let that go for now. That's for another time, and we'll talk about that at another podcast. For now, let's just focus on the living Holy Spirit. Now, you may be thinking that I'm building a case that you must have a separate experience or event in your life to have the Holy Spirit working in you. Well, the answer to that thought question in your mind? Maybe. Yes or no. It's not about the particular nomenclature of vocabulary for me. It's about relationship with God. And some people fear this idea. Oh, wait, baptism of the Holy Spirit? That can't be right. That's got to be from the devil. That's just unbiblical. But maybe it is biblical. Others reject it because of some teaching they heard against it. And all I'm trying to do is remove some of the mystery. And lastly, it's always your choice before God what you believe. However, one question to answer is, do we get everything at salvation, or are there two separate events? That's a real interesting, because I've heard people that would be real irritated, swear and hold their hand up and, you know, say you get it, it's all one and done. You get it all. And I've heard other people with the same, you know, intensity say, no, you got to get saved, and then you got to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. And let's look at what the Bible says and then talk about some of my experience. Okay, in the book of Acts again, chapter 10, we see an instance where Peter is going to the house of Cornelius. And he's bringing in the gospel because Cornelius had a vision. And Acts 10:44 says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Man, this was the first time the Gentiles had experienced the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost fell on them. Doesn't say anything about tongues of fire or all that stuff, but Peter's telling them the gospel, the truth about Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost comes and falls, and they know it. Those who came with Peter know it because the Gentiles are speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Now, it doesn't say what languages they were speaking, but it does say they magnified God. So this can't be of the devil. This has to be from God and giving God the glory. However, let's look at another example of like a second event, a two-time. Same book of Acts. Chapter 19, starting at verse 1, we'll read a few, maybe 5 or 6 here, see how far we go. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came to them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Well, this is a little bit different circumstances. How did Paul establish that these men he's talking to were disciples? And they confessed that they had been water baptized unto the baptism of John, which is the baptism of repentance. So they repented of their sins, and they heard John say, to believe in the one who came after him, which was Jesus Christ. But they hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. So this could be a case where there's two events, but they did not have the Holy Spirit because they did not know. So if the Holy Spirit's not functioning in your life, it could be that you need to know more, that you need to know what's going on or get an idea. They believed and were baptized in water, since that was the baptism of John, but they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Is this two events, or is it still one? I know people who have been saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit all at once. I have a relative that told God it's now or never, and the Spirit came upon her so much that she was knocked to the ground and flat of her back, and she was saved. She believed in Jesus, but she was also filled with the Holy Ghost and had all of the stuff. So that was a single event, and she had it all one time. Bam, there it was. However, I know a lot of people who are saved in church, and they go down and pray a prayer and accept Jesus as Lord, but they don't have any power. They don't have any boldness. In fact, some of them are really afraid and don't understand what's going on around them. But they have a second experience a second anointing, and they purposefully ask the Holy Spirit to be alive in their lives, and they learn to cooperate and become activated or anointed with the Holy Spirit. This is a second experience with the Lord. And they now live boldly, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they see things happening, whereas they spent time before where they didn't. Now it's your choice. Do you want to live with boldness, power, and the supernatural in your life? Well, first you got to believe in Jesus. You got to put your faith in Jesus and be born again. Then you learn to cooperate with the flow of the Holy Ghost through you. If you don't have power, self-control, the love that's been mentioned in your life, then all you have to do is ask God, and He will give it to you. Whether you call it baptism of the Holy Spirit, infilling, activation, whatever word you use, anointing, it's learning to cooperate with the flow of the Holy Spirit that uses your body. And He's not going to take it over and cause you to do things crazy that you don't want to do. But He just might have you speak in a language that you've never heard of. He just might have you praying for somebody and see healing through your hands. You know, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, but He's also in power. And He loves you and wants you to experience Him in your daily walk with God. It's not spooky. It's not from the devil, because the devil can't do anything. He would never have you give God the glory, praising God, glorifying His name, and edifying His people. It's got to be from God. It is a sign of an unusual experience. But to God be the glory. He has chosen to use people to work through. Thank you for listening. My name is Joe Watson, and this is the podcast, Choices We Believe.